been thinking some time about the subject of being able to make it all the way. The Scripture teaches us that it's not the starting, but they that endure to the end shall be saved. So there is going to be a process that we're going to have to go through. It can happen, but it doesn't generally happen that someone gives their life over to the Lord and then quickly goes out of here without the battles and struggles of life. So we're interested in being successful in our Christian lives. I'd like to look at a scripture in the 14th chapter of Luke. Now maybe I'll start with the 25th verse. It says, "There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war, to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." This passage starts off by saying great multitudes were with him. Great multitude was following him, and he turns to them and says, "If any man come to me." Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us, the first step is to come to the Lord, but it isn't the end step. And the Lord was talking to these people and saying, if you're interested in coming to me, in order to be successful, you really need to think about this. Because we can look and say that I see the value. I see the value that it presents. And I want us to, of course, think about what it means to us. But to get the picture of the day that Jesus was in and what the situation was there with Jesus and the people there. I think a lot of people, according to the Scriptures, had a different life than we have. You'd have to acknowledge that, because when Jesus went and fed the 5,000, we don't have a situation like that. We don't consider the idea of coming to the end of the day and not have eaten all day and not having anything to eat isn't something that we really face very often. But they faced it then. It was a whole different world. So, and Jesus was talking to that world and said, if you come to me, I'm going to give you some criteria here about being successful. If you want to be successful with the Lord, here are some things we all need to consider. He says, first off, if you come to me, any man come to me, and hate. And I want to say first that the word hate here, and I think we know this, but I want to say it anyway, it doesn't mean utterly detest, as our English would suggest. There is times that it means that in the Scriptures, for sure. When we're to hate sin, despise sin, abhor sin, it means utterly detest it. We should hate it, not want anything to do with it, keep completely away from it. But that's surely not the words here. When he says that you, but there is a meaning here. When he says, if you come to me, you should hate your father and mother. Simply means that in comparison to, in comparison to me, you should put it next. And you've heard me say this before, but I think it's important here to understand this. Well, my example is when I was in grade school, I had a teacher that if you ask her, can I go to the water fountain, she would say, can you? I remember her real well. She'd say, can you? And if she would force you to say, may I go get a drink? And she'd say, yes, you may. But she wanted you to get your language right, because your ability to do it wasn't in question. You wasn't just asking her, do I have the ability to go? Well, I don't, what are you, may I go is a permission. Jesus wasn't saying, this wasn't a permission thing with the Lord. The Lord wasn't saying that you may or may not. He wasn't giving permission. It wasn't up to Him. He isn't saying that it's up to Him. He's saying that if you do this, you ain't able. If you don't do this, you're not able to. It isn't a matter of me giving you a right to do it. You won't be successful if you don't. You cannot be my disciple unless you hate father and mother. And there's a real practical reason for this, is because the Lord looked and said, I am endeavoring, by the Spirit of God, to influence your life to righteousness. I'm going to endeavor to influence you into doing what God wants you to do, in influencing you to heaven. And there is going to be a lot of influences in our life. Father and mother are definitely influences in our life. Well, they should be. We owe them. they should be very important to us. We owe them life. We owe them the care that they gave us. Their influence would be one of the greatest influences, should be naturally the greatest influence by the very nature of the feelings we ought to have for them. We ought to respect our father and mother. The Bible tells us that. It's a commandment. We should respect them. And yet the influence that they have would be great upon us in what they would say. And so the Lord says, in that influence ability, you can be drawn astray. Well, maybe not, we don't think about it so much in our world around us, but look back at the world that Jesus was talking about, and let's look at it a little bit. He was talking to the Jews. They were going to tell, most of the time, the parents that were good Jews was going to tell their children, stay away from that fanatic guy. But this is, you're erring, you're going wrong by this. Think of a Muslim born in today's world. I mean, Muslim parents. And being maybe a Middle Eastern, maybe an Arab or a Palestinian that finds Christ and his parents are of a different persuasion, they're going to try to influence that the most they can. And they probably was going to say, if you follow this course of Christianity, you are no longer my son. You know what the pressure of that might feel like? You mean I would no longer have heritage, I would no longer have an inheritance, I'd no longer have a family meal, I'd no longer be a part of something here. This is going to cost me this. This is why Jesus says it the way he does. Unless you put me first, you cannot be my disciple. Because the influence will be so strong, so great, so intense upon your life that you will find it impossible, unless you love me supremely, you will find it impossible to stand the ground that you should stand. Well, I think that's fairly obvious. So mom and dad gets first priority here. And well, they should. They take in a lot of our life. We respect. I actually say it's my mother wasn't saved, but I still credit my mother with a portion of why I am the way I am today. I'll say it this way, in my salvation, because my mother, when I was a little boy, your mom's right, she's got the answers, you don't. So, and my mom said, when I was a little boy, when other people wasn't, but my mother said about my grandma, Irma, that come here. My mother said about her, I'm not saved. But if I was ever to get to save, I'd live like her. Because she lives honestly and she lives what she believes. You know how impactful that was to me? That was greatly impactful to me. I think my mother said it right. But mothers don't always say it right. And there's many things that they can say that's not right. So Jesus comes and says, this great influence, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his, and again we've expressed the hate, it isn't utterly despised, of course not. There's much love there, but it's a less love, and that's what this word means, to love less. To love less than Christ, to say, if it comes down between me making a decision between my family, my mom and dad, I must, to be a disciple of the Lord, a follower, an example, a follower of the Lord, I got to love the Lord first. Then he says, wife. Well, it doesn't say husband here, so that was probably because he was talking to the male sense of it. But I think it goes either way, obviously. Your spouse. A lot of influence. Very close relationship, like none other. But it can be, I'm going to tell you, it's affected many people's eternity. I'll tell you that. One way or the other, it's affected many, many, many things because it is so close. It is either so fulfilling or it's so miserable. Either one is affecting who we are. And it's why the Lord said, unless you put them, whatever it is that is intended to be done, unless you put them next. You know what I'm saying? Samson fell for Delilah. Wholesale. It cost him. Well, if you fall for a woman, you ought to go wholesale. Right? Give it all. Love her the most. She says to Samson, if you really love me. Hey, those are... I love you, honey. I mean, I don't know how much more I can say. Well, you don't love me enough to tell me your secrets. Well, did he? Did he love the gift of God more than Delilah? No. Ultimately, Delilah got it because it was influencing to him. He wanted her heart. He wanted her. He wanted to keep her. He wanted it to be close as it can be. Well, who don't? But I want to tell you, honey, let's go shopping today. I don't know about going to service today, but can we let's go out to the lake. Well, I mean, there ain't no evil in any of that, but the influencing away from God can be very real. I mean, a lack of do I intend to serve the Lord no matter what? Well, Jesus says it pretty plainly here concerning this situation. You cannot be my disciple. It won't work. If you love father and mother or your wife more than you love me, it won't work. You can't be my disciple because you'll be off on something else. He says, and children, and brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something about children. They pull the heartstrings like no other. See, Sister Billie Jean agreed with me. But it is true. At least, and if you can't answer that, then you can be accepted today. But I can say this. My children can pull my heartstrings like nobody else can. I mean, for their welfare, for their happiness, their tranquility, all of those kind of things. If there's any place that you can wish you could change the way things are, or help them in ways that isn't good for them, but you want them to be happy, it's children, right? You all know what I'm talking about. Is it right? If there's any place that I can maneuver God's word around to help somebody out, I mean, it ain't helping them, but you follow me. It'd have to be children. I wish I could change it for you that you can do what you're wanting to do here, because I can see you're not happy with the way things are. Sure wish I could change the way things are so you could do it, because that's the heart of a parent. So Jesus touches it. You want to be my disciple? You're influenced by things. You're influenced by the people that are around. You're influenced. It touches you inside. It's impossible that it not be that way. I mean, we can all understand. I remember one time, just to tell you a little bit about myself, when I was a teenage boy, young, early teenage boy, and I had this dog. His name was Sam. Old Sam. Old Sam was a rogue. He'd take off. And I thought he was long gone. I'll be honest with you. He lived to be an old, old, old dog. But he was my dog. And he was gone for weeks, and I ended up saying, this time, he's gone. You'll probably never see old Sam again. Well, one early winter day, I looked, and here come old Sam. I don't know where he had been. He never told me. I don't know what he had been doing. Well, I know what he'd been doing because he had scars all over him. he was a fighter, and you know how it is when dogs and the gyps are out, and he was just gone, and he come back, and he was just skin and bones. Just skin and bones. You know, I remember getting emotional about old Sam. I'm just telling you, I didn't aim to do it. I didn't even think that I could do it. But when that old dog come looking so bad, and he had been my old pet, and I started patting on him, and he started kind of nudging. I actually got emotional about the fact that this dog wasn't going to be around very long. You know, I mean, you could see he was an old, old dog. And got to looking at him and opened his mouth, and this is true. This dog was by then probably near the teens in human age. I mean, he was an old dog. And opened up his mouth, and there wasn't a tooth. All of his teeth was just circles where teeth used to be. Needless to say, he probably wasn't scarring the other dogs up much. But he's still out there trying. But I remember being alone. I'm just telling you this for this point. And if I can do that, if I can have things that move me that are so insignificant as this old dog, then I'm really moved by things that are. And that's why Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? You're going to have to put me first above everything else, because there's going to be overwhelming things that will move you in life. As you get to know people or get with people, there's times that you're going to want something and that's going to touch you. You better love me more than you love it. And you better keep that love there, because if you don't love that, the influence of that is going to be so strong against you. She's so pretty. She's so nice. She's so what I always wanted. She's everything I wanted. You better not love her more than the Lord. Vice versa. However it works. So, the Lord goes on. Brothers and sisters can be close. They can fight. I don't think anybody fought more than me and my brother, but my brother would fight you for me. I remember a time that we wasn't getting along real well, and somebody had kind of done something to me, and my brother stood up and he was going to fight the guy, and I stood there kind of dumbfounded. I thought, I ain't sure I know who I'd want to win right now. I had this brother, but that's the way it is. Fight you, Bob. Fight. You know what I'm talking about in families. But it can get real close when it comes down to the brother. Don't you touch me when you touch my family. And so it gets real close. There's principles and ideas in the Lord that are bigger, to be bigger in us and to be more a part of us than our own families are. That's just the truth. And if we love, we need to love the Lord more. And he says, this is good. And his own life also. Now, Matthew Henry said something to this effect. We don't live in the day of martyrdom. Or at least not at this present time in our local communities. We're not facing life and death for meeting here. We're not facing the fact that somebody might come in and say to us, are you a Christian? And if you are, you're going to die. And if you answer yes, you die. You end up with some kind of a terrible, somebody does something terrible to you. We're not really facing that now. But Matthew Henry said it this way. He said, even without that, we're put to the test. We're put to the trial. By whether we're willing or not to do what the Lord says for us to do. Because that's a test of our love to God. And whether we're even willing to take the opportunities that come to us to tell somebody else about Him. This is what Matthew Henry said. Or whether or not we're ashamed of Him or around people or not. The test goes on. Would we lose a customer if we had a business? Would we be willing to lose a customer for standing up for the Lord? Would we be willing to lose a job if we stood up for the Lord and lost it? There is ways of this same thing. Are we willing to make our devotion to His service and continue it no matter what? This is the test that our modern Christianity has to say to whether we love the Lord more than our own life. Because this is the makeup of our own life. Our business, our friends, our neighbors, our family. This is the makeup of it. Do I put the Lord and the Lord's ways above all these other things in my life? Am I willing to be able to be a Christian when I'm the only one there? Well, I ain't going to the stake for it. I'm just simply standing alone. But am I willing to stand alone? Here's the trial or the test that shows me where I'm at in this. And the Lord said, if you're not, I'm saying in Matthew Henry's words, if you give me this liberty, he's saying that if you're not willing to stand for the Lord when you're by yourself, you cannot be my disciple. Because you're allowing the principles of the world, you're allowing the influence of the world to be more important than the Lord that saved you. Now, Matthew Henry put it some way in that context, that we have these different trials and things that come in the life. So the Lord says to those that come unto Him, you cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be the disciple. Now the very first idea here is that there is a cross. It isn't all peaches and cream. It ain't all cake and ice cream. The Lord never said it was. False religion says that it is. False people will say it is. But the Lord never said it was. The Lord said, take up your cross. Which means that there's going to be heavy things to bear in the Lord. And if you're not willing to bear those heavy things in the Lord said, if you don't love me enough, this isn't a selfish way. It's an existence way. This is how we're going to make it all the way to heaven. This is how we're going to make it through this life successfully, is if we love the Lord more than these. Whatever these are. Everything. We'll love the Lord more. This is the way we get the success in it. So he says, there'll be a cross for you to bear. If you don't bear that cross, you cannot be my disciple. It ain't May. It isn't him giving you permission to be a disciple. It can't work. Because the influences of those things
won't allow it to work. The very things that these burdens are supposed to do can't do. It won't make a disciple of you. You can't be a disciple and not bear the burdens of what is going to come into your life. You have to do it. There's grace to do it with. The love of God it demands that we do it. Lord, I'll carry it for you. You saved me, and if I can carry it, I'll carry it. Lord, help me be able to do it. But he said, if you don't take up your cross, the burden of it, the weight of it, no matter what it means, we happen to be among friends. I like being among friends. And I can say to you, you can say something to me, and I'll say, thank the Lord. Well, y'all, everybody says, thank the Lord, amen. We can all do that. But it ain't always like that. And there's a good time to say thank the Lord when there ain't nobody around that's a friend. And everybody's contrary to it. The world's so ridiculous now anyway, it's amazing. We got the truth, why not say it? Love the Lord. The Lord's the answer to their problems too. This is what living for the Lord is. So the Lord goes on and says, this is not out of context, even though it's hard to understand in the context sometimes. He goes ahead and says, and it refers to people coming to him. If you're going to come to me, I got some advice for you. Who building a tower? Any kind of house or anything that you want to say works in this scenario. Who would start building something without considering whether there was going to be accomplished or not? There's no benefit in a half house. There's no benefit in putting a foundation and putting some stud walls up. What does it do you? If there's never a roof on it or walls, I mean, you wouldn't do it. Nobody would. That's what his logic is. It would be, people have, but it's foolish to do it. To say, if you're going to come, well, Jesus was simply saying, if you're going to come into me, you better take this in consideration. If you're a person that is given to mommy and daddy, you better weigh this because it's foolishness for you to start this way. Jesus was loving them and telling them what it was going to cost to go there. If you're going to come this way, it's all secondary. If you want to come to me and be a disciple of mine, you can't love yourself because it won't work. You will start making exemptions for yourself that's going to cost you your soul if you love yourself more than you love me. If you love others, you're going to heed to what they want rather than heeding to me. And the Lord comes along and says to the individual, I want you to perform this. And you say, I can't because I got to go to the Thanksgiving dinner because mom would be upset if I didn't. Listen, go to mom's Thanksgiving dinner if the Lord ain't saying anything. I'm not saying that, but you know what the influence is. You know what it is. I can't afford that. I can't afford that and what it didn't mean. I've had those kind of pressures before, and I'm going to tell you, I've had those kind of pressures before, and what I've said every time is this, in the most gentle and easiest way I can. I'm going to serve the Lord first. And I want you to understand, this isn't me denying you. It's just that I'm not going to deny the Lord. This is what the Lord's called me to do. He's called me to the ministry, and when he calls me to go somewhere to do the ministry, I'm going to do it, and even if it's at Thanksgiving or Christmas meals or whatever you have going, I've got to follow the Lord first. And I am sorry that if it interferes with you, but the best person I can be to you is one that follows the Lord. You don't want me not to follow the Lord, folks. You just don't want it. I've done that before, and you don't want it. Not if you want to be around me. This is the answer. So he says to him very plainly, who, intending to build a tower, sitteth down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Well, he'd be a fool not to. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he's got enough to do it? And again, he's saying to those that come to him, what king would consider the whole of the war, the whole of the battle? What does it mean to be a Christian? What kind of battles am I going to face? You may face a cross, literally. You may face having to say, I'm a follower of the Lord with a gun pointed at your head. Well, no. What the Lord is actually saying here, you consider the inevitabilities of it. You consider all the possibilities of this because this is a reality. This is what happens to people. You consider this when you start off not to make the wrong decision, but to make the right one. So that you put it in its proper place. I intend to serve the Lord, but I'm not going to serve Him wholeheartedly. No, wait a minute, the Lord says. What King going? No, consider it all. Can you haphazardly, indifferently go through the battles that you're going to face like that? Are you going to have the confidence that the Lord's going to be with you when you're not being faithful? I'm going to tell you right now, you won't. Nobody does. You can't have confidence that the Lord's going to defend you when you're not being living right. You'll come up short of the faith and confidence it needs in the Lord if you're not performing right. And so the Lord basically said to them, consider then. Consider what it's going to take to fight the whole war. What battle might you face? Folks, every one of us in here is going to die. If the Lord don't come back and we're translated out of here or we leave in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to all die. You going to face it? You're going to face it. Well, maybe instantly. Maybe you won't have time to think about it. I can't predict any of that. But for the most part, people die knowing they're going to. Do you know that? Most people die knowing that they're dying. May not admit it all the time, but they're going to die that way. But we're all going to face that idea of leaving this world. We're going to have something to face it with. Where am I going to go when I die? How am I going to leave out of here? Lord, you're going to be with me? You're going to hold my hand? You're going to help? I need help. How are you going to do it? I'm going to have to consider the battle. You mean I may die prematurely to what people think? If I stand up for the Lord, somebody might take my life. You remember in Columbine? You remember the shooting in Columbine? There was a story of a young lady at Columbine. It's a very touching story. She was a Christian girl. She got killed because she stood for the Lord there. Well, Lord bless her. Because she had something. It meant something to her. We need something, mean something to us. So count the cost, he says. 33rd verse says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. What does all that he hath mean? Is there an exception in all that you have? All that you have. Unless you're willing to forsake all that you have. And again, it isn't given permission. You can't be a disciple of the Lord by hanging on to anything. Things. Bank accounts. Peoples. Attitudes, ways of life, likes, ambitions, even talents. Those kind of things. Unless you give up all, if you allow those things to influence, the idea is that you cannot be. What an awful thing to think that I cannot be his disciple. If I hold it, I can't be a disciple of the Lord. That's an awful thought. Now, in closing, salt's good. Salt is one of the most used components, most naturally occurring component in the world. The seas are full of them. Some seas were so thick with it, nothing lived in it. It's called the Dead Sea. Totally saturated. Or at least to the saturating point with salt. Salt is very, and the scripture says, salt's good. Salt has some incredible qualities to it. It's very, very useful. The idea with this scripture here is, I want you to think about this. Salt is good. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? I want to ask a very serious question for you to consider. If Christ, in all the contact that we've had with His gospel and with His Spirit, if He hasn't done anything, what will? I want you to consider this. If all the contact we've had with Christ hasn't seasoned us, where can we be seasoned with? If it hasn't persuaded us into righteousness, where are we going to get righteousness from? How are we going to be moved if all of the contact that we've had with the Spirit of the Lord hasn't done anything? What's going to do it? That's actually the essence of what the Lord was saying. Salt's good. But if it's salt with all of its qualities, if salt that adds flavor, or is anyone going to eat anything here today? I challenge you almost on every case. Some people have conditions where they try to eliminate as much as they can. But most people reach for the salt shaker. I do. I like salt. Because it enhances. It makes stuff taste good. It makes it taste better. As a matter of fact, I always put a dash of salt in my hot chocolate. You know why? Well, try it. I'll tell you why. Because the salt does something with the sugars that's in there and gives it a more robust flavor. It does add something to it. Well, I mean, say to me, you do it. But I will tell you, it does something. Salt's good. Because it preserves. It keeps stuff from putrefying. And it adds flavor. That's the Christian experience. We are to keep people, we're ourselves first. We are to have a quality of preservation in us. We're preserved from the evils of this world. And we're to have a flavor. You know, Christians are supposed to have a flavor about them. It's supposed to be appealing. Wow. There's something about them. It's supposed to have a flavor to it. So where are you going to get the flavor at if you allow it not to be? Where does it come? It can't. Jesus says, can't be. When the salt has lost its savor, and that means its qualities, when it can't preserve anymore, and I've read about the fact that there is salts that do that, it still is in its granular or in its form, but it's lost its both its saltness and its preserving. You'd say, well, it ain't salt. Yeah, it's salt. It can do that. The weather can actually, outcroppings of salt, the outer part of the salt can actually be weathered until it doesn't have the qualities that the salt would have. That's what I've read. But nevertheless, what would you do with salt? Give me one good thing to, hey, Keith, we want to pave a road with it? Salt? This old salt? He said, what are you going to do with the salt if it doesn't have the qualities of salt? I don't know. Can we color it in blue and put it in a vase? I don't know if that, what are we going to do with salt? I know that's what the Lord said you're going to do with salt. And He's talking about our lives. This is what you're going to do with salt. That don't have no flavor. You don't get flavor from it. It don't preserve anything. You don't keep it as a keepsake. You don't put it up because it's pretty. You don't keep it in your pocket. You don't put it in your boots to weigh them down. You don't even use it for a paperweight. He said you cast it to be trodden under. And the idea is this. If the Spirit of the Lord hasn't moved and can't move in our lives, when we get to that point to where those that follow the Lord has allowed His influence to become flavorless and useless, He's saying, if I can't do it, it can't be done. Lord, help us. We've had the privilege of living in the time period that we have with such information and such availability of resources. We've had the privilege of decades and decades, if centuries of freedom in our own lives, decades. I'm pushing six of them. To be free to serve the Lord in full pursuit without disruption. And if the Lord can't influence my life, what can?
We have an opportunity, folks. Let's redeem the time. The Lord, this is the success. If you want to make it to heaven, He gives you a perfect blueprint. Very simple, very easy to say. It isn't, and this is not like other things. When the word hate wasn't like that, because the natural things of life you will be attracted to. It's just true. There isn't utterly despising of your parents, your wife, your children, your family. Or of things that are good like home and car and things that God give us to use, a good green yard and a tree to sit under. Of course we'll like those things. But you can never afford to like them better than Christ. I have the privilege of having health enough to go that me and Darius went 3 miles down the Greenbrier. I only had enough health to go 3 miles down the Greenbrier. I don't think it was any farther. I could have already done it. But I was at that, and I thank God it was an enjoyable, very fun day to do it, and I can do it, but I can't like it more than I do Christ, because if I start liking fishing, hunting, activities, anything, and I start putting that above, you can't be a disciple. You'll start making excuses and things, and it'll wear you out. You can't be a disciple of the Lord that way, so He tells us the perfect example of how to make it. He said, put me first. You put me first in your life, and you can be a disciple. And let everything else fall underneath of that category. Could we like Job? I'm just asking the question. Could we like Job say, if we lost our family, this is tough. Could we say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away? If we lost the dearest things to us, I'm a home person. I travel, but that's the Lord stuff. I like home, and I like home things, and I like the smell of bread baking. I like the good smells of stuff cooking in the kitchen, and I like the idea of home and warmth when it's cold and it's rainy and miserable. I like a fire in the fireplace. I like those things, and it's right to have them. Could I say, if that was swiped out from under me, could I say, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away? The Lord's first above all those things. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.